Looking at what's next for markets after a brutal day on Wall Street as investors have second thoughts about how fast the U.S. economy can bounce back. Also, how the coronavirus is cutting off the blood supply to hospitals and what health workers are doing to revive donations when social distancing makes blood drives difficult. And the biggest challenge for airlines in recovering from the pandemic shutdowns may not be economic, but rather psychological.
They're going to have to try to continue to find ways to convince us that we can get back to normal.
Our in-depth look at what the future of flying will be for us and the airline business. It is Friday, June 12th. I'm Mark Garrison with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. We spoke yesterday on the podcast about factors driving a rough day on Wall Street, including investor worries about a second wave of American coronavirus infections. Futures trading points to a recovery of some of those losses at the open. The global picture is mixed. Asian indexes closed down, but European stocks turned higher early. Our reporter David Hodari gives us a broader picture from London.
There are some people in the marketplace who say that this correction is likely to be mild, and it's definitely overdue, and it may not go on for very long. Some investors say that global equities had become very richly valued after central banks have pumped huge amounts of money into the financial system, that talks of a V-shaped recovery were perhaps overly simplistic in that it won't be that straightforward. There are a lot of people in the marketplace who say that a small correction was not only inevitable, but also necessary.
Another big move in the fast-changing food delivery space. We are exclusively reporting that DoorDash is close to securing a new round of funding, valuing it at more than $15 billion pre-money if you're keeping score. This follows the Grubhub-Just Eat merger. DoorDash filed to go public in February before the pandemic scrambled everything. It is still aiming to go public this year. More stimulus checks may be in the mail. The Trump administration may get behind a second round of payments for Americans. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said that's under serious consideration for a potential relief bill. Congress is likely to consider an economic relief package next month. We are reporting that the Trump administration may suspend a number of immigration visas for workers, including the H-1B high-skilled visa. This would be unlikely to affect visa holders who are already in the country, and some industries could be exempt. But still, many businesses, from tech companies to universities to seasonal employers, rely on immigrant workers and have allies in the Republican Party. A number of GOP senators have written to President Trump urging him to reconsider broad new restrictions on temporary work visa programs. In a moment, American hospitals face an alarming blood shortage because of the pandemic. The Republican National Convention is moving its main events to Jacksonville, Florida. This after President Trump tangled with the Democratic governor of North Carolina over how big the Charlotte event could be. Governor Roy Cooper was concerned about the spread of the coronavirus. Some minor party events will still happen in North Carolina, but the president's acceptance speech will be in Florida in late August. The coronavirus is severely straining America's blood supply. Our health reporter Amy Doxer-Marcus explains.
The normal ways of collecting blood have shut down. The Red Cross is reporting that over 30,000 planned blood drives were canceled since mid-March, and other blood collectors also have had thousands of cancellations. So now there are efforts to try to motivate people to get out. The Red Cross has offered everything from t-shirts to Amazon gift cards. And furthermore, there are efforts to assure people that it's safe to come into a blood collection center and make a donation.
Until the blood supply can be replenished, doctors and nurses are in a tough spot. Here's Amy again.
Elective surgeries may be postponed because you have to make sure that you have an adequate supply of blood on hand for an emergency. Or hospitals and blood collectors working together may have to make plans to shift supply around. If one hospital is in need of a particular blood type and another hospital has a surplus, there could be some sort of exchange. Even one patient who unexpectedly needs large supplies of blood can change how much supply you have and can lead to thinking that you have to find ways to solve it.
Looking beyond our borders, India now has the fourth highest number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the world, as its biggest single-day increase pushed it near the 300,000 mark. We are also reporting on a surge in cases in Saudi Arabia and other countries in the Middle East. This is forcing governments to enforce new lockdown measures. The big question ahead is the Hajj pilgrimage next month. Typically, millions of Muslims travel to Mecca, but so far, Saudi officials haven't explained whether they'll allow pilgrims to visit for the centuries-old ritual. The Hajj has been canceled before, but not recently. The last time was because of an epidemic in 1831. After a quick break, the act of getting on a plane has become a rare thing in the pandemic. We will look at changes underway and how it'll be different going forward for you and for the entire airline industry. How soon will you get on an airplane again? How you answer that question going forward, along with tens of millions of other people, will determine the fate of aviation. When people return to flying, their experience could be dramatically different, and the airline business is changing, maybe permanently. To get a picture of what that could look like for us and for the industry, our Mark Stewart talked with Donna Rhodes, a professor at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
I want to talk about the passenger experience that includes ticket prices. Will we see discounts, and do you think airlines will still block seats in the future?
Well, that's part of what we have been debating about, how that will work, because obviously airlines are and most of the world are a private business. They need to make money. And the question is, if you start blocking off seats and reducing the capacity of the aircraft, how many do you need to break even? In the past, they needed to fill the planes fairly full to break even and start making money. Now, how do they do that if they're only going to fill it to 50% capacity or something like that? And that's going to be a hard call, particularly if passengers are thinking they're going to get lower prices. Because obviously I could do that if I raise the price on everybody else's. But it's not clear that they're going to do that. For example, you may have seen Frontier at one point in time early on had said that you could pay a higher fee to get more space. They quickly dropped that because people were not going to do that. So the question is, can any other airline make the argument, if you really want more space, pay me more money and I'll block off something? And I don't know that they're going to be able to do that very well.
In the past, airlines have increased their revenue, in some cases significantly, through baggage fees, advanced seat selection, even meals on board. Will this model remain the same?
That's probably one of the difficult things. So those, what they call ancillary revenues, have been where they've made lots of money for people paying for that. But if you take just, for example, the whole issue of meals, currently under this environment, some of them are talking about whether or not you even do that, because, you know, whether or not you try to limit the contact between them and the flight crew there and the flight attendants, whether you maybe just before you board put water or some little snacks in there. Under that model, it would be really tough. If they're trying to maximize the safety by limiting the contact between you and the flight attendants, by not serving meals, by not serving drinks, all of those things, you know, could be impacted depending on what model they tried to go back in. And if they lose a lot of that ancillary revenue, that would be difficult for them.
And then I think the question that economists and even those of us who just fly, whether it be for business or for vacation, I think we're wondering, will we see airlines go out of business or file for bankruptcy? And are some carriers more vulnerable than others?
Well, it's with any industry. Some carriers are always going to be more vulnerable. We've already seen a few carriers that have filed for bankruptcy because they were overextended. They had a lot of debts. They didn't have enough cash to keep them through a crisis. So certainly you're going to see some that are going to go out of business. They're going to have at least file for reorganization if they're in the U.S. because of the problems there. So that's a definite possibility that you'll see more of that, depending on what happens. The good news for a lot of airlines, certainly in the U.S., that sort of irony, you know, in 2018, the Airlines for America had put out a report talking about how we were in the golden age of air travel. And they were citing that because they said, oh, here we are. The airlines have been over a decade. They've made money. The quality is really good. Complaints were down. Lost bags were down. which is was there say that to say that, okay, we're making money and you're happy, so this is a golden age. Well, here we are in 2020. The good news is that they, in fact, had made money. So most of the airlines in the U.S. did have money on hand. That will help, I think, certainly in the U.S. Now, again, in other countries, you may have it may be different depending on the carriers and how they're set up. A lot of the low-cost carriers are probably going to have some difficulty because those usually tend to have a lower margin to work. So,
and finally, I'm curious, for those of you who study the airline industry, what are the questions that you and your colleagues are asking each other and wanting to know about the fate of these aviation giants?
So one of the projects I am working on, we are literally looking at, you know, airlines have spent a lot of time, like other companies, trying to convince us that they're really trying to take care of our safety and our health and make sure that our experience is good, but they have a very difficult imperative to make money. I mean, they can't not do that, and that's going to be a very difficult challenge to try to balance one or the other. So if you have the option to book some more seats, do you book more seats if it means slightly more revenue? So they're going to have to deal with that. They're going to have to deal with the perception that flying is a riskier behavior than some other things, and so they're going to have to try to continue to find ways to convince us that we can get back to normal. Now, again, the people that they need to convince most are going to be business travelers because that's where the money is. So my guess is if you're a business traveler, they probably are spending a good deal of time trying to convince you that there are ways that you can fly safely and it's going to be a big improvement over what you're doing now. In other words, fly now rather than Zoom.
Dr. Donna Rhodes from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, we appreciate your insight.
All right, thank you very much. You have a very nice day.
Finally, for potential weekend viewing, we brought together a panel of cinema scholars to recommend films that speak to the African-American experience. They chose recent works, including Spike Lee's documentary When the Levees Broke, as well as earlier films, such as Nothing But a Man, created during the era of pivotal events in the civil rights movement. Find the full list on WSJ.com. And that is What's News for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are back with another updated episode this evening. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.